Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, the lawyer, you're going to have to break down to me. You the Hebrew man. You the Hebrew guy, man. And you're going to really have to help me with this. And I'm, there's a little sarcasm here with it. But, you know, after each academy, you do the honor of, through requests, giving out Hebrew names to brothers and sisters who desire them.
Right.
And they have to be somewhere written, somewhere on some scrolls or something. What is Pookie and Ray Ray in Hebrew? June and Nug Nug. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us that a man, when a woman sustain a man, she's filled with anger and reproach. Right? Now, that particular man in the ancients would be what we would call our modern-day Pookie and Ray Ray. Because women sometimes kick in initially and say, you know what? I'm here to help you get on your feet and help you out. I'm bringing you into my spot, but with the desire for you to one day kick in and get me out of this spot and put us into a home we both can be proud of. That's what a woman is thinking when she's bringing you into a spot. Right? But a man under the demonic Pookie and Ray Ray scenario is saying, man, this is a nice spot. And that's it on that. And see, this is what women are talking about. Right? And there, and here lies the problem, Elder Lloyd. What's the missing component? The missing component, ultimately, it's father. The missing component is not. It's the father that put a work, that actually instilled the pride and worth in his daughter. Where she won't settle for nothing less than the expectations he instilled in her. And this is why even LeBan was like, listen, Jake. Yeah, all the women love you. You're strong. You're a shepherd. Your God blesses everything you put your hands to. Jacob, you're the man. But I'll tell you what my daughter's worth. 7 years working for me. Okay? He set that from the gate. You can hold hands. Y'all can walk together and sit on the bench together. You know what I mean? You can speak sweet nothings to one another with chaperones, but it's going to be 7 years. Imagine how great those daughters must have thought of themselves, where the father seemed that much worth in them. Let me tell you. Pookie, Ray Ray, and Nug Nug don't have a chance against women like that. Straight up. Because the father instilled that worth in the daughter. And it's the mother who does what? Who helped meet that and execute that. That she don't settle for nothing less than the worth her father put in her. And this is what makes Israel worth something. Because it's not us in of ourselves, but it's the worth that God has put in Israel as God's people that makes us worth something in this earth. And without that, we're worthless. So I wanted to put that out there. 515-605-9327. Without our father, we're worthless. Even when it comes to my sons, I continually tell them, listen, it doesn't matter where you are. That's not good enough. As long as you have life in you, as long as you have life in the Spirit of the Most High, there's more to achieve because life is short. If you ain't getting everything out of your life, what you doing? Leave a mark. Leave a name. And it's the Father who gives the children the objective, the purpose, the purposes to strive for. Let's go. 515-605-9327. Calvin has a situation. You can't come in our, you cannot come into our broadcast with situations. No, he has a question. All right, Calvin. Hey, Calvin,
okay.
I'm just messing with you.
Colvin Collin.
How you doing, Calvin? How you doing? Bless you, brother.
How you doing, Elder Ricard and Elder Lawyer? I'm sorry.
Shalom.
Shalom.
My question was, you were just talking about hell just recently on your broadcast. I was just going to ask you the order, the spiritual death, the physical death, do you go to hell or torment, and then after that, judgment and more torment? Is that what you were saying?
Okay, well, when you go into the 70 scriptures that were hidden, that the Most High told Esdras to hide, I actually have those scriptures. And I'm gonna actually talk about that as far as the idea of hell based on different societies outside of Israelites. This is not just a biblical concept, but even the Gentiles' concept of hell gives some insight to what the Bible's perspectives are. The whole thing is when the Most High made the spirits, because he's eternal, spirits can never die.
Okay.
He existed before time. He created time. So when he created us out of the essence of himself, he made us immortal, at least from a spiritual sense.
That
means we were someplace before we were sent into our parents, and we're someplace after we leave this plane, right?
Okay.
So in Esdras, it breaks down that if you are part of the righteous who've made it, there's a place in paradise in the center of the earth, right? And it's really connected to the heavenly realm, but it's in the earth. The same way the Garden of Eden is a spiritual plane, but when you go through a spiritual door or gate, it's here on earth too, but it's connected to the heavens. The earth is floating in the middle of heaven.
Okay.
Okay? The earth is the center of the face of the deep. It's the center of the universe, not the sun, and it's actually in heaven. It's floating in the middle of heaven. So there's what? There's passages. And that's right, passages as well as chambers and levels to heaven and or hell. Now, I'm going to break this down into categories, but let me quantify this. When our spirits go over, if we showed favor with the Almighty, either side sees a light. In that light, you either go into what? Rest. In continual quiet until your soul is resurrected on earth when heaven comes here, or you're in torment. There's a chasm in between, a lake of fire that can be seen from either side. Now, on the dark side, which is called hell or Hades, that's where those who disobey God from the beginning are. Starting with the fallen angels who are called gods. 200 of them came down during the time of Jared.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. There's monuments like pyramids that shows a marker where these particular angels are buried in hell. Okay? Now, this is where not only are they getting tormented under sorrow until the judgment, but those who follow their ideologies, religions, and also the courses of their disobedience against our God. They're tormented in their conscience in total darkness perpetually throughout from day to day. And usually what's happening is they're being tormented with their own thoughts. And their thoughts is the greatest thought of all of them is the regret that they had time to embrace the God who can no longer help them in hell. That's the greatest torment above them all, is that there's no repentance there. Now, that's one form of death. Well, the only thing they can look forward to is being thrown in the fire, which is a perpetual pain. At the end of the thousand-year reign of our king. So think about that. You thirst and never get anything to drink. You hunger and you don't get anything to eat. You're tormented in your mind 24 hours a day if we're dealing with it strictly from the earth times perspective. And the only thing you can look forward to is the fire where the Most High will put this fire into a perpetual place in an eternity far away where no one will ever see it again while you're still dealing with the pain and thought of the God you denied while the opportunity presented itself. So that's why it says, that's why the Most High, that's why it tells us that we not to fear man who can just kill the body, but fear God who can kill who? That's right. The body and the soul in hell, which is the second death.
Real quick.
It's
real
two
quick.
Deaths. Yeah.
Real quick. Those 70 missing verses, I know I could get them on YouTube, but to get that Bible, I would like to get that. If you could just say where you can get that and let me know or if that's possible.
I'll tell you, a matter of fact, I'll go into it if you're in the academy, but get yourself the Cambridge Annotated Apocrypha.
Okay.
And guess what? They do have a new revised version, so be very careful. There's another version of this without the precepts, though. Who's that? What's the other university? Oxford.
Yeah.
The Oxford Annotated Apocrypha. And when you go to secondary to 7, you'll see the 70 that's missing. Instead of 70, you'll get up to about 140 verses.
Yeah.
Okay?
Good. Good.
My man. My brother.
Elder Lawyer, I love his voice. He's got that Don Cornelius voice. I'd like to hear anything he's got to say. So when, you know, he's got anything to say to tell me, I appreciate it.
Oh, my. Hey, Lawyer, that's a new one. Don Cornelius? listen, we ain't going to have him go into his soul train zone.
Yeah.
You know, Don Cornelius with a Demetri. Lord in the morning, John.
All right, thank you, guys.
What you have to say on that, Elder Lloyd? He wants you to say something real quick.
Okay, in regards to his question, or
what's the question, yeah. Brother? I guess he's going to hear what you got to say, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I can speak, but I want to know what exactly am I speaking for? Is it in regards to your question, sir?
Yeah, in regards to my question, if you can add to it, that'd be great. I'm sure you guys are on the same page, so I'm just like to hear what you got to say.
Okay, and can you rephrase your question again?
The question was, what happens to the spirit after you die? Do you, is it in torment and then judgment? What is the order of it, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Well, it depends, okay? Here in the book of Job 14, it says the following. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. So we know that the prophets, even in the Old Testament, had questions as to what happened after death. And some of that the elder explained. So the prophets understood that after you die, you go to an appointed place for an appointed time. Now, for those who are the righteous, they go to a place called Abraham's bosom. For those who are unrighteous when they die, they go to a place of torments. And both sides are awaiting their change. You can read about that in the book of Luke 16, about Abraham's bosom. Those who are righteous, according to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, along with 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, they are risen when Christ returns to be changed. For those who are unrighteous, they await what is called the second death, spoken of in Revelation 20. They must stand before the Most High. I'll read this one last thing very quickly before we move on, because we do have time constraints, but I'll go very quickly to Matthew 25 to show you what happens to those who are awakened at the second death, who are wicked, who are awaiting in torments, to show you their final judgment. In the book of Saint Matthew, chapter 25 and 20, I'll start at verse 40 and 41. This will be the last thing. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, those on the left hand are the wicked, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the final judgment. Okay?
Thank
you. Got it, my brother?
Yeah, I got it. I appreciate you guys. I listen to you all the time. I just can't get enough of your old stuff on YouTube anymore, but I keep looking for you.
I'll tell you what. Are you a Patreon member?
No, I am not.
Okay, a lot of the old stuff that's no longer within YouTube rules are on Patreon. Go there. It's inexpensive. I think it's $5 a month. Go there.
Okay.
All
right? Just put in GOCC. NYC.
Just go to Patreon/agathering144 and become a Patreon member under our schedule. You'll see it there. Become a member and hey, you in there. Right? And what you do, the proceeds, which is $5 a month, it does help the work, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank
Glad
you.
Glad to talk to you guys. I appreciate it.
I appreciate
Come to Kenosha one day. Bye.
All right, we're done. For Shalom. Hey, lawyer. You know you're never going to be able to live that Don Cornelius zone down. Hey, brother, I've heard the Barry White of Israelites, but this is something special here.
Yeah, that's a new one.
All right. Woo! All right. I see you, Sunshine. I'm going to bring you in a moment. Kayam has a comment. Lord, have mercy. And you, man, listen, I forgot about old Don Cornelius. I'm about to pull him up in a couple of minutes. And you know how to be trolling, Elder Lawyer. I can see them sitting there. I knew it. Illuminati, that's Don Cornelius' son. They're
right.
Going to have Don Cornelius with Dimitri, you next to it. I know how they're going to do it. And, and I'm glad, Elder Lawyer, that the way your camera is framed, I'm glad that they can't see your hand gestures. Right? Sometimes I put my hands up and start moving them around because I know some people around there just want to wait for my hands to be like I'm giving Jay-Z a little cold or something.
Right.
So I put my hands up. So, because y'all Illuminati, they're going to say I'm Illuminati infiltration, and I got five fingers, so sometimes they move around, it be horns and everything else as far as he's concerned, so if they mess around, and the only thing I'm doing is hand gestures, what do you think they're going to do with that Don Cornelius voice? So watch out. Oh, yeah. Kayim has a comment.
Shalom, that's right. hey, Elder,
yeah,
Satan can't cast out Satan, though.
Hey, listen, it's hilarious, man. I'll be seeing some of that stuff out there, boy, and it's like, man, I'm like, boy, do people have time on their hands? I'll tell you what, can Satan cast out Satan? Listen, if I'm working for the other team, I'm doing if I'm working for the dark side, I'm doing a horrible job. But go on.
And all praise to the Most High. Higher. Everybody,
yeah.
Put a heart and clap hands in the chat for these watchmen, because they doing the greatest job on this earth, Elder.
Yes, sir.
And you're right. Great
Thank
fathers
you.
Are, yes, sir. Great fathers are being forced out the home. And I was just having a talk with a sister the other day about what's going on. And Elder, real quick before I say what I would say, if something happened, can an email be sent out for everybody to go to Patreon? Like, you know, if the internet shut down or they strike the page? I was going to suggest that first.
Listen, if something ever happens, right? If something ever happens, I would suggest where if you cannot meet, if they take away our page or whatever, or internet go down or something goes down, if the internet still works in some capacity, you can send an email, agathering144.
Right.
The worst case scenario, if something happens where you cannot reach us through the internet, I would suggest call 215-253-4448. See if you can reach us through that phone number. All right.
Yep.
I'm gonna have that number eventually forwarded to my satellite phone so I can be able to contact people. You know, in the rate of an emergency, I can forward that number. You reach me that way. Or we have mail, 2000 Hamilton Street, P.O. Box 946, Philadelphia,
yes,
PA, 19030. You can say, attention, Gavin of Christ Church, important, Elder Ricard Shiar, and I'll have the letter almost immediately. Every time I get a letter, I'm notified. Do it that way.
Yes, sir.
So these are the ways that you can actually reach us, all right? And what
okay,
I would
awesome.
Suggest, even on the outside of that, make sure you're in connection with someone within your region. We have regional elders as well as local elders in certain areas. And we have a location in Oklahoma City. All right, so for those in Oklahoma, that's right. We're bringing the church there, ready to go. We're going to be announcing that. There's a place to gather in Oklahoma City now. So we suggest you find someone in your locale, your region, and connect with them if you can't reach us, and they'll reach me.
Okay, yes, sir. And Elder, I was going to say, as far as like men, we have no excuses. So we have to do our part in studying and praying. Three times a day and walking a straight path. And Elder, the discussion I had with the sister the other day, it was based upon, because I know you mentioned Kevin Samuels. Now,
Yeah, that's the wrong zip code. The zip code is 19130. 2000 Hamilton Street, 19130. I'm sorry, let me correct that. Thank you. But go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, yes, sir. So I've heard you mention Kevin Samuels a few times now. Elder, when you teaching, all lessons I heard, you come at men like we're men, and we have to take it on the chin. So I know, like, when you go into certain scriptures and it offends, some sisters, I would like them to realize, like, Samuels, before he passed, he was bringing in thousands of sisters that, and he was talking to them straight up and down, like straight at them and having them, you know, hushing all that. So if they was coming at him for thousands on top of thousands, maybe millions, then everybody that's hearing Christ's doctrine, everybody should come to the same with the same energy and be willing to hear it and come in the masses and be ready to take correction, you know what I mean, and not take offense to this. So I know you were saying as far as like, you know, everybody has to be ready for this and not take offense. And that is so key, because it shouldn't be no offense given when it comes to the truth, because it's written before us. This is something that's going to help us get into the kingdom.
Listen, I don't want to push back and give excuses to anyone, right? But
yes,
men and women are different. I mean, even them who couldn't stand Kevin Samuels in private, whether they hated him or whatever the case is, learned something that can benefit their lives, even if they didn't want to say it publicly. But men and women are different, and I'm going to say this. The Bible says give honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. It's hard for women to adjust when they have made decisions and there's no way they know that they can actually go back and fix that period of time in their lives. And it's hard for them. It's hard for them to accept the fact that they was told to do things right a certain type of way, only to find out that what they were told to do was in reverse of what they should have been told to do. And now they're being blamed for it. I'm not making an excuse for sisters, but if they did everything, some of them went to school to make their families proud and to actually have some resources that the family could be proud of. This is what their parents told them to do. And then through that time, they missed out on a serious period of time where they're only one person and they can only make one choice. And then they're told at the end of their life, like in their middle age, that everything they did was wrong and they can't go back to fix it. In the prime of, really the fixing for a woman's window is small. She only have a small window to find the right man, have children before what? Before geriatric pregnancy kicks in where it's hard for her to have children up to 30s and 40s. That's a small window to when you get 40 to realize, okay, I did things in reverse. That's a tough pill to swallow. And then they look at men who made mistakes, do all these things, right, at an early age, some of the same mistakes they've made, tripped and fell, did all types of wrong, and then men realize their worth at 40 and get up with mobility and become the man at 40 that she thought she would have at 20. So now he done made his mistakes and still able to capitalize past 40 going into 50. That's a, it's a double standard, and it's tough for women to say, you know what, I wish I would have made the right decisions in the prime of my life, and I wish someone would have told me that this was the wrong path. Now, that I'm just, some women, I'm not making an excuse for all of them, but some women are saying, this is what my mother and father told me to do. And now everyone is saying that I'm wrong. So it's a tough pill to swallow for us. This is, they can't satisfy everyone, and it's tough. So when you got someone like Kevin Samuels, others just outright with no consideration for what, you know, for how that affects them, and, you know, in all due respect, you know, I've seen Kevin Samuels help a lot of women. But on the other hand, there have been situations where, you know, it was a tough pill to swallow. Women are being told everything they did was wrong, and they can't take criticism and constructive. They can't take the same things man can take when it comes to criticism and all that. It's hard for them. They just can't. Because why? They don't process it the way we do. We'll process it and say, you know what, okay, my bad, I'll just switch it up. And a woman, on the other hand, multiplied sorrows according to the curse, will go into a state of depression. So what'll just be, you know, a learning moment for us can put her out for a month being depressed. So I'm not making excuses, but we're different. We're different. And this is why I found, this is what used to, brother, intrigue me. How women are very careful of other women's feelings, even if they're wrong. Guess what? Listen, I could never logically wrap my head around it, being a man. But reading the scriptures, it's how women receive the wrong that puts them in a state of depression and emotional turmoil that only women understand. This is why they're careful on how they correct women and all that. There's a fragility thing there that only women understand. And we think they're just trying to give women passes. No, they know that if they said certain things, how harmful it can be for a person's psyche under certain circumstances. Right? And I'm just being respectful on either side. Because what I'm saying is, at first, it was the woman's side through the social engineering where it was okay to attack men, especially black men. And that didn't feel too good. And now here we are where now it's okay, according to the corporate structure, to attack black women. They just swung the pendulum. But at the end of the day, it's still us on either side not coming together. And that's a problem. Okay?
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, my brother. All right, bless
okay,
you.
Thank you. Bless you.
All right. Someone says women are not that fragile. Women are strong. They're strong according to what? According to their purpose. Right? They're strong in certain instances. And I'm not giving women excuses. What I'm saying is the Bible says give honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. She can't hold the weight of a man. And that's just the reality of it.
Hello, Elder. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It is a blessing to hear you both.
Bless you, my brother.
I am in Oklahoma City. And when you said that it is a church happening in Oklahoma City, that just made me so happy.
Oh, yeah, we have one in Oklahoma City. Absolutely.
Oh, my. So I want to get on point with degeneracy at the end of the rainbow.
Okay.
I work in corporate America, and I see the rainbow happening so much in this month of June. And it's promoted. It's proud. But if I was ever to go in and say an English version, God over everything, or a higher over everything, I'd be in HR office. I done seen a girl walk past me in the hall with a pentagram on her belt buckle. No one had said anything. But if I was to say God over everything, a higher over everything, I'd be in the office. So I just want to say to y'all, keep on pushing it. I've been following y'all. A brother turned me on back in the days. He said we had a debate about King James. And I was brought in to all that deceitfulness regarding King James, homosexual, incestuous, all that. And when I learned from you all and seeing who King James was, and that was a long, long, long time ago, like about 9, 10 years ago. So I've been following you all for a long time. I've seen you all come from where you were then to you are now. And I have seen the blessings. I have seen everything that the Most High have bestowed on y'all. And it's just magnificent. It is truly magnificent. I've seen, Elder Ricard, I saw you bushy head, buggy eyed, to right now. You know what I'm saying? I done been in a couple academies, forgive me, it's just been a couple, but the knowledge that you guys bestowed back then towards now, I don't know if you all want to have just a blog talk about that, you know, because you all have bestowed a lot of knowledge, and all praises to Ahaya by Hashem Yeshaya. Ah,
thank you, my brother.
This is my first time talking to you all. And then to hear that you all have a church happening in Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah, here we come.
I am there.
All right, brother. I can't wait to meet you. And remind me of this call the next time I see you. All right, bless you.
Thank you. Right. So that's all I wanted to say.
All right. And let me make it clear, though, right? I don't want anyone, especially brothers out there, to think that we're dealing with any form of pandering. Okay? You know, I think Umar, so-called Johnson, is doing enough of that for all men who exist, okay? Right? And this is why we brought out this today of the women that were on at the castle where our foreparents were taken in Ghana to be enslaved, and show these women that's out there and thought it would be a good choice to get up there and show their behinds without shame. Okay, so we're not pandering, right? But we know that there's a segment of our community, and I grew up in North Philly. There's a segment of our community who are predominantly women who isn't going to listen to anything a man has to say. So when I talk about give honor to women as a weaker vessel, I'm not saying give women passes who are destroying the image of the daughters of Zion. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there got to be enough women and mothers to stand up to correct this. Because here's the reality. There's a segment of women who will only listen to other women. And then there's another segment who won't listen to anyone. There's some women who stay quiet when it comes to correcting other women to avoid a conflict or a fight. We know that all exists. But these particular women who don't want correction, guess what, folks? Nothing can prepare them for the amendment that's coming. Because at the end of the day, you're going to listen to somebody. And if the Most High send men and you don't listen to them, send other women who care about you and there's no listening to them. You know what? He sends something that, you know what, you will bow and listen to. Even if it's the jackboots coming from the other countries to knock open your doors with no man around to have you submit. The only thing we're doing here through the spirit of love, through the spirit of scripture and understanding is to do what? Is to put it out there through word to say, take heed to the warning and the admonishment that's coming through the word while you still have an opportunity to make choices. Because when the Most High sends the judgment, there is no choice. It's just the judgment. So let me make that clear, and I wanted to put that out there. This is the nonsense we had to deal with. This is nonsense. And there's women out there who won't take correction from anyone and are goaded on by the girlfriends around her to disrespect women's image. And it's time for enough sisters to stand up and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Before YouTube, before Instagram, we understood that this subculture existed in our community, but at least it was hidden away for no one to see. But we always knew this existed, but at least it was hidden away, you know, within the crevices of the inner cities. But now that they won't keep it just where it actually began or cultivated from, now that it's on public display, it's time for women to say enough is enough. It's going to take a lot of women correcting these women, I'm going to tell you. Boy, don't worry about it. China have a whole army of men. That's in a lot of these areas that's going to actually take care of a lot of this. There's some men that some of these people are going to listen to. Watch. Talia has a question.
Shalom, elders, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you, Talia?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm blessed by the best.
Agreed.
Talia,
first off, I just want
to... Sister, can you believe this? Can you believe that there will be some people who would get a passport and travel into Africa at the castle where our people were taken captive, never to see their homeland again? And to celebrate this, they'll go to this same Amina Castle in Ghana, only to get up there and start pole dancing without poles.
Yeah, it's definitely saddening.
It's sad.
Can you hear me still?
Yes, I'm listening.
So I can say this,
sister, before you go, let me tell you, brothers know that when I have a passport, brothers know when we travel to other countries that we ought to learn the culture to some degree and understand where the lines are. Okay? We understand that we can't go, even if there is a subculture in the United States, that the thugs and all that happens here. You can get the thuggest of thugs going into Egypt or Middle East or Dubai or to Africa, and they know to act on their best behavior. Because the jails over there are unforgiving. So this is what happens when you have what? When you have a subculture within our culture that have never been corrected. This is what happens. They believe that in their mind that the world accepts this because there's no consequence. They can do it and still survive afterwards. We know that we go out acting a fool in another country, there's a dungeon with dirt floors waiting someplace. But I digress. Let's go. Let's talk.
Well, thank you. For giving me a chance to come on here, that's one thing. It's an honor right now to even hear your voice and, you know, to see you on the screen right now. So I'm kind of freaking out a little
bit,
trying to calm down.
Thank you.
So I do have the question I do have is, I've been the truth for a while now, and I've done my best to, I'm not perfect, but I'm continuing to, you know, study and observe the Sabbath, and very close to my stepdad. He's in the truth. He continues to guide me. However, I do have a question. I know we talk about the women who are, you know, like the women in them videos twerking and doing things. But the other side is, what about the women who are trying their best? And I have a boyfriend right now who I'm in a relationship with, and I see him as my husband. But he just sees me as a girlfriend right now because I'm honoring the fact that, you know, by law.
Okay. Let's reel that back. Who decides when a man is a husband and a woman is a wife? Who decides that?
I would say my dad.
It's the man.
It's the
man who goes to your dad and asks for your hand in marriage. It's the man.
Uh-huh.
It's the man decides whether or not he's going to be a husband and the woman he chooses will be his wife. The woman is not the one who can decide, well, I see him as a husband, but really he sees me as a girlfriend. See, and this is where fathers come in. Because you can't see him as a husband with him not being a husband. This is where fathers step in and say, well, no, young lady. You are what you're doing in this relationship with him. And that's acceptable for him. And a father comes in and states, it's not acceptable for me. And he goes speak to him and says, you know what? You're going to make my daughter a respectable woman.
Wow.
That's where father steps in and says, you're going to make my daughter a respectable woman. Do you respect her or not? So what
that
I'm
makes
saying
a lot
is,
of sense.
How old are you?
28.
So here's the issue, and this is what's going to grow resentment. This is where resentment is going to grow. You'll give this man the better part of your prime in life with you believing that he's a husband while he's seeing you as a girlfriend. And you're given all the benefits that come with you being his wife. When if he believes that you're not his wife and you're just a girlfriend to him, while you're doing all these things, when he get in position to get the wife he wants, he's going to choose her. And you're going to say, he cheated on me. And now the resentment grows. Now every man you meet after that have to pay for you believing that he was your husband.
Yeah.
So no, you can't believe that. He have to be in position to have you believe you his wife by making you his wife.
So this can't go off of just hopes and desires of, you know, him telling me he wants to do that one day. It just has to be done.
He want to do that one day. Okay. And you can make it sure and say, listen, well, when that one day comes, hit me up. Because I'm not here, you're not here, you're too valuable, you're too valuable to be a placeholder until he finds the woman he wants. Because if he wants you, you would be his what?
His wife.
I know that's hard, and some women think that, okay, I have to facilitate this and hope that he's going to become something one day that I hope. But this is what you're going to waste time. That's what you're going to do, and then you're going to resent men because of it. Okay? Listen,
yes.
A man marries who he wants to be his wife. And fathers used to have this hard talk with daughters. Because it's so hard to find a good woman, men don't let just wives just walk away. So this is why fathers came in, and fathers had the ultimatum. You're not going to play with her like this in the prime of her life. Okay, you're not going to do this. Because now a good man is going to come after this, not saying he's not good, but he's indecisive at best. So if he's indecisive, what's going to happen with you?
Yeah.
What's going to happen with you is he's going to do what he's going to do, but then the wife you've always dreamed of, one day going to walk by, that's going to change your life forever. Because you're going to say, this is the thing I did as a wife. Right? He cheated on me. He did. He's that. And you're going to start blaming men when it was you who gave yourself over until he was able to find what he was looking for. And that's just a harsh reality. Men will do that.
Well,
so you have to solidify.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so you have to solidify your security.
Mm-hmm.
You have to secure yourself while you're still in the position to be able to get a man who would appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You don't want to get used up, you don't want to get used up and have this man use up all what you have, your femininity. Your femininity. You are agreeable. You're humble, and guess what? It's nothing for someone to hurt you and change you that will change you into something, into the worst version of yourself. So while you still have some power, decisions have to be made. Right? Some decisions have to be made.
Yeah.
Don't be sitting around
I'm
hoping.
I'm not going to lie.
Don't be sitting around hoping that a man is going to be something other than he is. Men are who they are. Men are simple creatures and rarely change. Men are very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the greatest mistakes women make is to sit around and think that a man is going to change. And I'm not saying he's a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be ready or whatever the case is.
Okay.
Yeah. But how much are you going to use up of yourself until he comes around, if ever? That's up to you. And guess what? If it doesn't work out, you cannot blame him.
Yep. Well, I definitely
appreciate
you. If
you sit around and wait,
and
he never
–
listen, if he sits around – if you sit around and wait and years go by and the best part of your years are gone, don't get up 35 and 40 and blame him for why you resent men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you know the Most High in Christ in the Bible, you know the rules.
I appreciate
okay?
that. And I'm not going to lie, I'm holding back tears right now because it's like you just explained my whole life. You don't even know me. So, but I really appreciate that.
Well, I'm just saying, sister. I'm just saying.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you to both of you guys. I appreciate everything you guys do. Me and my best friend, one of my other friends, she's 30, and we both came into the truth a while ago. And, man, it's been life-changing. So we appreciate you guys.
Well, we appreciate you, sister, and always stay in that same spirit, that humble, loving, feminine, agreeable spirit that's hard to find. And I hope in the spirit of the Most High that brother appreciates who you are and what you are to him. All right. I really pray that that's the point. But don't waste your time in this instance. And I'm not saying to rush him or try to move him into something and all that. Deal with the reality of what it is. Deal with the reality of what it is. And where's your father? Have you gotten him involved?
Yes, it's my stepdad, so he did get involved, but my boyfriend doesn't really like going over right now and talking to him about the truth because my dad believes in the truth, and my boyfriend right now, he's in a position where he, you know, he doesn't believe the Bible's real and different things like that, and so it's kind of hard to have them interact right now.
Oh, you said the man you with. The one you're a husband, you're a wife to, but not a husband to you. He doesn't believe the truth right now.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Lord, I'll tell you what. Okay, where's your father at?
I live in Dallas area, and so he lives in Bonham, Texas.
It's time for you to get the man in your life, the man you look up to, involved for direction and counsel, because only a man, and I'm going to use the word, can hit you to how men think at a certain age.
Okay.
Only men can do that. Okay, only men can do that. Okay, and so many times women listen to other women concerning men. That's
mm-hmm.
okay. You can always, any information you can always use and filter, but I'm going to tell you, only men can give you the breakdown of another man at a certain age and tell
okay.
you exactly what he wants, what he's going to do, and what his trajectory is. And a man can break down another young man quickly. And I know there's some hard truths that a man who can see what other men are, because a man can point out what you already know, but have compartmentalized and hid in hopes he'll become something else.
Mm-hmm.
But only a man can say, you're deceiving yourself. You're creating the man you want when he's someone different. So you then compartmentalize all the things, all the red flags, and you'll be
mm-hmm.
accepted this man you made of for yourself. And hope that he's gonna be 2 feet in with the truth, with the Bible, have you be his wife. You created a whole nother man outside of who he is for yourself. He is who he is. And if you think it's tough now, wait till you really get up into the Word. You claim that he doesn't believe the Bible. He thinks. Let me tell you. You are hitting a hornet's nest, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The last thing a man wants and resents more than anything is that
mm-hmm.
another man is respected in the eyes of his woman outside of him. And this is how he's going to perceive you listening to these videos. You don't believe in the Bible. You don't believe in God. And now you honor what these guys are saying. And you know what? Because he can't say anything against us or in anything, and you honor and respect us, guess where it all is going to be taken out on? On the only person that he can take it out on, and that's you.
Man. I got nothing else to say. I'm just listening.
Sister, just pray. Get your father involved. And he'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you. But I think you already know. I think you already know where this is going.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time and for letting me take up a little bit of time. So bless you.
All right. All right. Bless you, sister.
All right. Bye-bye.
Tangela has a comment.
Shalom, elders.
Shalom, how are you?
Great. Thank you for taking my call. Elder, I just wanted to talk and just tell you a situation that my family went through regarding this topic tonight with, you know, them coming for the children. A few weeks ago, my daughter came back home because she was, you know, it's hard out here. So she came home 39 weeks pregnant, and she moved back in with my husband and I. I've been in the truth for going on 6 years. He's been in the truth about four. And she was with us like 3 weeks before she actually gave birth. So she was going into her 42nd week. So we decided for her to go into the hospital to get checked to make sure the baby was fine and everything. So we got to the hospital. They kept her. They induced her labor. When any women first go into the hospital, they automatically test them for drugs or any type of, you know, to make sure that their body's okay for the baby, for the delivery. So we were in the hospital 5 days, Elder. My daughter gave birth by cesarean section 2 days after that we were there because she wasn't progressing. They did cesarean section. An hour before they gave her a cesarean section, Elder, they gave her what is the stuff that they give the elderly people when they're in hospice? Morphine. They gave her morphine. So they went ahead and took her back, started and proceeded with her C-section. She delivered.
Okay.
They delivered the baby.
Okay. So I got to be careful with all this because you know they're careful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just want to make sure you stay within whatever parameters they have on YouTube without it, because you're just giving me your experience. Because morphine is sometimes used as, you know, it's used as a pain reliever as well as a sedative to get people to do things. But go on.
Yes, sir.
I'm listening.
So this is how they use it against her, because prior to her going to the hospital, because, you know, been in the truth and we've heard all of your teachings, we're so thankful for, you know, all of your teachings and you giving us all of the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we need when we encounter the medical system, you know. My husband and I had already told her, like, okay, this is what's going to happen when you go. This is what they're going to try to make you do. This is what they're going to try to encourage you to do. Be aware. Stand your ground. Don't bend. Don't let them try to encourage you to do anything else. So with that being said,
let me ask you this question. Are you saying before the baby was delivered, they gave her that?
Yes. While she was laboring, right before they got ready to take her back and prep her for the C-section, they gave her that to ease the pain, allegedly, you know.
Go on. I mean, is this something that your daughter agreed to, or?
Yeah, she agreed to it because she was in so much pain and she wasn't progressing with the labor. So she did agree to it. But they used it against her eventually.
What do you mean they use it against her? What do you mean?
So she was released from the hospital once the baby was unborn, 3 days afterwards. We took the baby to her 2-day appointment. The physicians and I, you know, we got into kind of a debate in the office about, you know, the recommended hospital juices and this and that and other. He decided to let her know that he couldn't be the baby physician because we rejected the juices and all that stuff. So in our conversation, as we were getting the baby ready to leave the doctor's office, he says to my daughter and me, wouldn't you rather her, because I was telling him about, you know, through research and teachings, we've come to know that, you know, those juices, you know, give kids, you know, child, you know, the different autism and all these different things. And this doctor says to me, this doctor
I'm listening to you. Go ahead. I mean, I think you made a grave mistake in trying to make political stances within a hospital, usually, or a doctor's office. I'm going to let you go ahead, but usually you don't want to get into those type of conversations like that.
You
don't want to tell them about a belief and this is what this stuff does. It's called being wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And there's a such thing, sister, as informed consent.
Yes.
Informed consent means, I'm not disagreeing with anything. Okay? I'm just going to get more data to make an informed decision.
And that's eventually what my daughter told him.
I understand that. But you have to be careful arguing what some of the adverse things are online and all these other things, what people have told you, because they are versed in, and now they'll go into another phase.
Elder, what they did. You called it. That's just what they did. Oh, my goodness. So.
And what is this phase?
So, the doctor said to me in the office that day, wouldn't we rather the child have the juices than, wouldn't we rather have the child have autism than not have the juices? So
this conversation is going into some gray areas. So let's do this. I would like to pick up this whole conversation in Patreon tomorrow if you call in. You can call in during Patreon time around 2:30.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have Truman Burst on tomorrow, where he's going to be taking calls on those who may be dealing with some certain issues, and he's going to be talking about herbal remedies and all.
The baby is fine. The baby doesn't have anything. Nothing was ever done to the baby. The baby's fine.
I understand, but there's another phase you want to talk about. And right now, I believe that when we come on a broadcast, the guidelines changes. I believe it's allegedly or probably the guidelines changes as it goes. I don't know
what
we can say here. So
please,
let's talk tomorrow about it, and I'll help you through it. All right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Shalom.
Shalom. And those are the three letters that Elder Dell put up. And you know what? Usually that's where they go. So those three letters, watch out. Hide your kids, hide your wife. 619 area code.
Hey, I'm here in San Diego, and I was wondering if you happen to see the new Carl's Jr. commercial for the new burger they have. Around the country, they call it something you Hardy. You might have heard of Hardy. You know what that? All right, what'd you say? I was not sure if you heard of the new Carl's Jr. burger that they have. If you've seen the commercial for the new burger. You might know the company as Hardy.
Oh, no. What are the commercials for the new burgers?
The burger is called the Diablo Burger, which means the devil burger. And guess how much it costs?
$6.53.
And they got trolleys running around all over the city that says El Diablo is back.
And check this out. El Diablo, when it comes to the game, a lot of that came out during the time when the smoke and some of the fires happened, coincidentally the same time that the fires were going on. It was an introduction to the world. It was introducing Diablo to the world. There's something I want to show. I'm going to show that tomorrow, brother. And what they're telling the What they're telling the world is that Satan is no longer behind the veil. He's operating frontal with his ministers that we see throughout all of these agendas. Right on. I'm going to make sure we begin the broadcast of our updates to that for transition and improvement. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. You get it.
All right. All right. Okay, well, right now I'm at the very end. I'm sorry if I didn't take your call. Please call in tomorrow. I'll have it up around 2 to 3 o'clock. And 2 to 3 o'clock, we'll have you on. I can take one more call. Keisha been waiting about an hour. So I'm going to take that call, and then I'll bring in Sunshine. She's been waiting from the beginning. Keisha.
Hi, praise. Well, excuse
how
me,
doing,
Salawam. Yes, I'm new in the truth, maybe like 3 months.
Okay.
I'll be taking my third baptism class this Saturday coming. And I know God's been good to me. I'm visually impaired. I had 5 open head surgeries. The Lord blessed me to carry with my daughter with my brain exposed. But I have a question. I've been married for 7 years, right? Basically, my husband, he don't know word. He don't know anything. And me, I'm the type was like, Lord, I want somebody that can help me in my walk, somebody that can teach me, you know, to walk the way that I'm supposed to walk. You know, he can't even lead. You know, not to put him down or anything like
okay.
that.
Okay, all right. Let's back it up. Let's reel it back for 1 second.
Okay.
Right? And I'm going to tell you why I can't allow you to do that.
Okay.
And say, and publicly put a man down and all that. Because because there's two sides to a story. And the next thing is this. What should I be focused on? How this man isn't nothing. This man isn't up to par, as you stated. Should I be focusing on that man, or should I be focusing on you who chose that man?
Right. But
I'm saying is, I'm not saying your choice is wrong. What I'm saying is, when you put these things out about him, you have to understand what you're saying about yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful not to do that, because others who are listening aren't hearing exactly what you are conveying. They're hearing, okay, this man is not about nothing. This man is this. This man is that. And some people sit there and listen and say, well, okay. So when did she find this out? And if this man is all this and don't meet your standards or measure up, then why did you choose him?
Okay, that's what I'm about to get to. Like, I knew him for a long time, and he had a crush on me. But I'm going to say, like, in 2016, we had, you know, clicked up or whatever, and we were doing things that was not pleasing in God's sight. So that's why I had
like
made
what?
That choice. Fornication.
Okay. So what you're saying is, outside of the physical parts, the physical
mm-hmm.
connection, you always knew that he didn't fit the requirements of a man that you would follow.
No, at the time, no. Until we got further along, I started seeing certain things. But I'm going to say one thing, anytime I needed him to do anything or whatever it is, he would do that. But now...
Okay. Answer the question what I'm asking, though. Because it doesn't take me, like, a man, right?
Right.
There was a certain status in growing up, in school and all that, where we would, even though it was from a worldly perspective, you met him in the world, where we would, men, especially the educated or the smart who were in the school, would deem girls who weren't all that you know, put together on the brain side, I'm saying that loosely, we would call them in the world dumb blondes, right? See, and that's the, and that was a time when Three's Company was out. Three's Company. I don't know if I'm saying my age. And they had this girl, Chrissy, who was a dumb blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though a man is physically attracted to a girl, he knows her mental makeup and understand mm-hmm. that that's who she is in the world. There's no way a woman who's usually steps ahead of men, maturity-wise, when it comes to relationships at an earlier age, don't know when she's dealing with a man who's not mentally up to par.
Now, even mm-hmm.
So when you're saying that you found out later that he wasn't mentally up to par. So let me put it this way, right? This is what's going on. There's a lot to this story that only he can fill out. He's not here to defend himself or to state his views of how this relationship happened. But I can tell you this. It's what you're saying is that now you got the truth and you're about to be baptized, that you're looking to move on from him being unfit. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, let me explain that. Okay, so I was telling him to come into the truth or whatever. So it's like he didn't really want to do that because, you know, whatever he do. And then one time we were talking, oh, well, I don't, you know, the God you believe in and, you know, all of this other stuff, you know, I go to this other church on Sundays and I'm like, okay, what are they teaching you? Or you, do you know your Bible? Do you know scripture or whatever? And he's like, oh, well, he can't debate because he don't know the word. So, yes, I'm in the truth. And, you know, my thing is like, God, I want to live according to your word, how you have me to live. And, yes, I did pray and was like, Lord, I made a mistake. I did pray that in the beginning. But it was like, okay, God, do I leave this man? Because my thing is, okay, when I said I wanted, when I get married, I wanted to get married one time and one time only. You know, I have a brother.
How old are you?
I'm going to be 53 November the 6th.
Okay. How long have you been with him?
I've been with him from 2016.
So that's how many years? What, 9 years?
7 years. No, 2016, that's 7 years.
Excuse me, 7 years. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. 7 years. You said 2016. Years. All right.
16,
2016.
Yeah.
All right, 2016. Any, y'all have children?
No, but I do have 3 kids.
Okay, do you live with them?
Yes, they are here with me. My son, he helps me because I said, you know, like
no,
I'm asking my testimony.
You. I'm asking you, does the man that you
are
with?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, those instances are dealt with on a local level. Usually what happens when you come into the church to be baptized,
mm-hmm.
at that point, you are at a what we would call single or married status. Now, if y'all never got married in the world, initially when you come in, you're single, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is there will be a conversation on what your relationships are and what you're seeking to do going forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works. Now, when people are married in the church now, even if they're not married in the world, we have what we call a church certificate of union. Where if you're coming into a church with a person, it must be agreed with two or more witnesses with that leader in charge that you sign a union that you're with someone. This way, it doesn't get twisted or confused going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't carry your broken relationship or whatever it is into the church and cause chaos. When you mm-hmm. are saying you're not with this man and he may still believe you're his woman, and now you will bring that into a church where a man may, in the church, may desire to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, those things have to be straightened out from the beginning, and the Bible says do all things in writing. If y'all not together, then it's a non-conversation. If y'all not together, he's not living with you, then it's a non-conversation. You're coming into the church single, but something tells me there's more to this than what you're saying, or you wouldn't be saying it.
Yeah, there is a lot more, you know, because I told him I wanted to be that wife. He has daughters, and I said I wanted to be there to help you with your younger daughter, and I wanted to love you and be there and do the things that I'm supposed to do as a wife. But, like, if you going on acting me, I don't like foolishness. You know, that's one thing I don't tolerate. You know, I try to help him with the word.
But the whole thing is, right now, and y'all probably at a point of disagreement in your relationship. And it's probably not the first time you've been there. So I would say let's not make a definitive decision on anything right now. You say you're going to be baptized. Get with the elder or deacon in the church who's over your, and get a council where you both can make a decision on going forward. Okay.
We already did that, and I spoke to one of the, because I'm in the body in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did speak to someone there.
Okay.
Because one of the classes was on baptism.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the classes was on marriage.
What I'm trying to do is limit this to the locale.
Okay.
Right? Because we had a situation that was erroneously publicized not too long ago, where you had two people who met each other in the world. A guy brings a woman into the church, and we don't even know what's going on because they weren't married.
I heard that.
Okay. Yeah. And then she end up, she made it clear from the beginning that this ain't what she wanted, but there was this wild thing out there that if we slept together in the world and come to the truth, we're married. When there's no agreement, no paperwork, no family agreement or nothing, and it's only a ball of confusion when people come in with that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's no way to act. And what happens is people drag their incomplete scenarios into the church and make it a church matter.
Mm.
So this is why now, no, the way we do this is you go to your locale with the witnesses involved, including him, to get to the bottom of what this relationship is, if it's a relationship at all. And at that your guide... No, listen though. You're trying to still convince me of what it is. This is not the place for it.
Okay.
At your locale, this is where it's handled. All right?
Okay, so what if he don't want to come? Because I already have papers and everything is notarized.
Well, sister, listen, that's something you have to deal with on the local level.
Yeah.
I can't answer that right now because I
don't know that.
There's no way... There's no way right now for me to hear his side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfair to him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So welcome to the truth. And I'm sure the elders, the bishops over there will handle this and help you toward gathering with the church. All right?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Bless you and welcome to the Bible. Shalom.
Thank you. And I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
All right. Boy, she have that deep New York accent. I tell you that. Sunshine, let's go.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Uh-huh.
Hello? Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Elder. Hi.
Hi, Sunshine. Let's go.
Okay.
Come on, I gotta eat some food, girl.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay, Elder. Oh, wow. Okay, this hot mess social degradation is what we've progressively been subjected to as men, women, and children, some of which who've been destroyed for lack of knowledge, and the brazen mindset that we today come to see in longstanding patience for years that the wicked have strategized against us, those trying to do good. They who desire to collapse righteousness have chipped and chiseled away at our fortitude to stand, our finances to invest in ways to protect our children from wolves in sheep's clothing. And when the wolves, you know, act in and outside of their areas, their closets. I don't know if I can say that. and also against the majority of wedded families in the world. And they also found clever ways to lean against our moral compass and clear understanding of what's right and wrong according to God. And they did this moral confusion through series of infiltrations via the churches or the houses of Rome with ready-made hirelings, handlers, where Israel mostly resided and cleaved to for years, being spiritual naturally, and also through their activism, lobbing themselves onto our once conservative black communities by claiming a minority status while bringing into our areas their filthy bags of medical agendas and liberal acceptances against children and towards their sacrifice, and bringing in our into our lives other various opinions that are adversarial against God and what God said is man and woman, or is righteous coming together, or is the way we should all operate onto the judgment, which is the ones that we all have to die and then the judgment. But what's left is, after all this is said and done, the masses are corrupted into the delusional badge of do as thou wilt. No one can tell them what to do. And even if they were told, you know, one rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe, no, having the law of Moses, and they chose the badge in shameless reprobateness, and would also go as far as to dance on the blood of castles and graves of those who suffer for the nation that's divided and cannot stand. And because of the hive mindset, is now as those climbing up the Tower of Babel and blindly or willfully for Satan's silly quest, these of the wide road destruction are cold and unshakable and immovable onto destruction, and are unfishable but ready to be hunted wide open and unprotected. But just like that, Tower of Babel didn't stand, or Sodom and Gomorrah didn't stand, or Egypt didn't stand, or Jericho, this new world chaos tower will also fall at the end. And the false rainbow, what they hijacked, their nakedness of their lives and their deceitful hearts will be shown. And while these are put under a very remnant standing and purpose according to Ahia, will be that light in Christ that shines, that will not be hidden under a bushel. And by grace of Ahia, with the rod of iron, true order will again be restored. And these who finally see, will finally see the devil and their deceiver with his fallen one-third and more, they'll finally realize that that panhandler has conned them out of their immortal souls, and by grace we will stand in righteousness and praise the Most High. That's all
there
I wanted
is.
To say, elders. Praise the Most High.
Bless you. Well, thank you, sister. Thank you. You always bring some peace.
Praise the Most High.